Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. We're at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, where it's 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Very pleased to bring in Todd Myers, his son Spencer Myers from Sealands Grove, playing football for Maryland. Todd, welcome. It is a pleasure to have you with us.
Hi, thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Well, what does this week mean to you to see the rivalry between Penn State and Maryland recommence and to have your son on the Maryland side of it?
We're real excited about this. Although as Coach Etzel had made a comment yesterday, he said, you know, the rivalry with Maryland and Penn State isn't quite a rivalry yet until they Maryland gets some wins on their side. So hopefully we can work on that this week. And having Spencer playing this game is you know, just fantastic. Spencer's overly excited. You know, this is the game he's been waiting for all year. And I know a lot of kids on the Maryland team have been, too, because there's so many kids from New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland on their team who, you know, have always grown up hearing about Penn State. And they're really excited for this weekend.
How surprised was everybody involved that suddenly the Big Ten was going to be a part of Maryland's future and not the ACC?
I think it came really quick for a lot of us who, you know, parents and the players and the coaches. It wasn't, I'm sure the coaches knew more than what we, the traditionalists who say, well, we've always been ACC, we should stay ACC. I think for basketball purposes, you know, they were looking forward to staying in the ACC. I know as wrestling parents and as wrestlers, it's clearly a huge step up from the ACC in wrestling. Right. Not that ACC doesn't have some good wrestling schools, but it's certainly not the powerhouse that the Big Ten is. With I think right now in wrestling there's four teams ranked in the top five from the Big Ten, and I think within the top ten there's eight teams that are ranked. So yeah. It was huge. It was a huge step up, and from the football end of it, because Spencer was a late arrival to football, we hadn't really heard a whole lot overall to begin with. So we're right. Just joining in and following the crowd.
What is it like for you to watch a game that he is playing at this level? How do you watch it? Do you watch the game? Do you specifically target him? How do you go about your business?
Well, you know, that's a good question, because at times I'm watching the whole game, trying to watch everything that's going on, but of course Maryland's on the defensive side, you know, I'm paying attention to Spencer's position, especially when he's out there. I am watching him, but I'm also watching the guy in front of Spencer, you know, and just watching the position and how they're playing it. And, you know, as I said, the last 4 years, I think I've gone to maybe, you know, other than watching on TV, maybe going to watch two or three football games, you know, because wrestling was always going on. And of course, Maryland starts their wrestling season this weekend. Last weekend was a wrestle-off, so, you know, we were always involved in that. So it's after not watching it live for so long, it's a big change. And but I'm really enjoying it.
How have people around you, and I'm sure there are plenty of Penn State fans, how have they approached this weekend with the noon kickoff coming up?
I know a lot of people in the area, a lot of my friends, you know, a lot of people from Sealands Grove, you know, have really been supportive and, you know, are excited about this weekend. Unfortunately, you know, with Ryan being out, we were hoping to see both Spencer and Ryan on the field, and of course they would have never been on the field at the same time. They would have been in there, you know, whenever the defenses are out. But I know there's a lot of people that are excited to see Spencer play as well as we are. And, you know, a lot of people said, hey, I hope Spencer plays well, but we're still rooting for Penn State. And that's okay.
Hey, Todd, what does it tell everyone about Selins Grove and the Valley that Ryan Kaiser would be at Penn State and starting, and Spencer would be on the depth chart and going to play significant action for Maryland in a single game?
I just think it's huge for our for Selins Grove, for the Valley, you know, for kids to know that they're capable of going to that next level and at that highest level. You know, Penn State and Maryland, of course, right now are not in the top 25, but they're, you know, still in those in that upper echelon. They're in the Big Ten, you know, and that's a pretty impressive conference to be in. Both teams are looking at, you know, good shots at bowl games, and I just think it's encouraging for all the kids in the area to see that, you know, and other players. I know our high school kids, I teach at Selins Grove High School, ask me things about Spencer all the time, are excited about it. You know, kids, some of the kids on our team now will come up and ask me, hey, how many sacks did Spencer have his senior year? Because, you know, they're trying to compete with him, or, you know, how many tackles do you have? Because I think I'm getting close, you know, that kind of thing. And that's neat to see, you know, that they're looking at this now as a thing that, hey, we can do it too.
Have you ever been to Beaver Stadium before? And if so, what was the experience like?
I have. We've been to Beaver Stadium. Spencer, we've taken him, you know, when he was younger. And I think Beaver Stadium, we tell everybody, and even the Maryland fans, you know, you have to experience it at least one time. If you've never gone to Beaver Stadium, there's really nothing like it when you have 100,000-plus fans all chanting, "We are Penn State." You know, it's just an incredible feeling. Unfortunately, this weekend we'll kind of be on the outskirts of that, but it'll still be an impressive feeling. And it is an awe-inspiring event to be there. And if you've never seen a game at Beaver Stadium, you really need to go for that reason. What? If you're a football fan, it's just incredible. And I'm glad we're not playing a night game with that White House. I think the daytime will help a little bit more. Yeah. But I know Spencer's really looking forward to this. As I said, you know, that's been a dream since he was a kid. And although he's not going to be running out on the Penn State side, just to be running out on the Beaver Stadium, he's just totally thrilled. And as I said, I know there's a lot of other kids on Maryland's team who have been looking forward to this all year as soon as they saw that was on the schedule too.
Todd Myers, Spencer Myers' father, joining us. Spencer, of course, from Selins Grove, playing for Maryland, and he will play the game on Saturday against Penn State. I asked you about the Beaver Stadium experience. Tell us what a Bird Stadium experience is like.
You know, right now, Bird Stadium probably holds about half of what Penn State holds. And I think one of the big things with Maryland joining the Big Ten that's going to help, and from my own perspective, what I see that Maryland's missing right now that some of the other schools like Penn State are missing is that tradition of, you know, all the fans coming and, you know, the whiteouts and all that kind of thing. Maryland doesn't quite have that yet. I think they're working on it, and this year has been much better. And as soon as they announced the Big Ten, the ticket sales increased. I forget what the percentage was. I know that it was the highest in the entire country for all football games, the amount that it increased. So I think that's going to come with being in the Big Ten. Maryland's always fought, you know, having the Washington Redskins there and, you know, Baltimore Ravens and all the other professional teams. And so getting those consistent fans, you know, I think there's been more, I don't want to sound too critical, but more fair weather fans. But I think now with the Big Ten and the tradition that's in the Big Ten, you know, the number of football schools that have been coming in, we've played Iowa at home, we've played Ohio State at home, we have Michigan State coming in. I just think that that's going to grow, and it's really going to help help Maryland's program. You said Beaver on Bird Stadium is about half the size, so, you know, the kids are going to really need to be ready for Beaver Stadium. I think we hold 58,000.
Right. Like any parent, it's the total experience that you're looking for. No matter what anybody has a dream of a next level, that's still a dream. Walking at it with a degree is important.
Correct.
How have you felt as a parent about the total experience that Spencer is getting at Maryland, both academically as well as the football side of it?
Spencer's having a great experience down at Maryland. You know, he, of course, started out wrestling, and the wrestling team, the wrestling coach, Kerry McCoy, is a Penn State graduate and is three-time national champ from Penn State. And so he has that background, but he's just a great person overall. And Spencer's initial experience at Maryland, of course, was a little rocky like any freshman going in, but Coach McCoy just made it, you know, a great transition for him. He's grown so much as a person, as a student, as an athlete. Maryland, I think one of the best things for Spencer and coming from this area is just the amount of diversity that is on campus as far as, you know, racial, ethnic differences, religious differences that he's getting to experience, and it's really helped him grow so much. You know, he's become a man, you know, from what he was, and we couldn't be happier, and Spencer couldn't be happier either. The amount of friends he's made, the amount of contacts he's made, I mean, just people coming up on campus and telling him, or, you know, I'll call up to order tickets, and somebody will say, you know, I tell them who I am, and they say, "Oh, you're Spencer's dad. You know, you make awesome venison jerky. Spencer's just in here today and shared some with me." You know, so he's known on campus, and he's known as a great kid and a great person, and that's the most important thing.
It was an absolute pleasure, Todd. I hope you enjoy your experience in Beaver Stadium, and we wish Spencer nothing but the best, not only Saturday but all the way through.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Enjoy being here, Steve.
Thank
have
you. Todd Myers, you have a great night, too. Todd Myers, father of Spencer Myers, Maryland's defensive tackle, who will play in the game against Penn State Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup, few other auction vehicles. There will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
If they put Olympic stuff on 24/7, would you watch it?
Yeah. I've wanted NBC Universal Sports for a long time. And this weekend would
that?
Be... Yeah, I've made it clear. I've put in my requests with the local cable service, as a matter of fact. I have put in my request for that channel. I think it would be...
Chris,
no, I was just going to say, I think it would be a really neat addition because there's a lot of times where you don't see these Olympic sports until the Olympics come up. And, for instance, this weekend is time for the U.S. Speed Skating World Cup. You wouldn't see it anywhere else unless it was an Olympic year.
Yeah, okay, great. Let's move on.
Well, we've got a channel for everything else. Why can't I mean, we have a food channel. Why can't you have an Olympic channel?
They have great-looking food on there.
Oh,
have you seen that?
Food channel. Listen, the food channel for you probably rates right up there with True TV. The only time you ever watch True TV is during the basketball playoffs.
I have watched the food channel before. I've watched it. Mm-hmm. Depends on what they're
name,
making.
Name
at the
one
time.
Show I've on the food it. Channel. Name one show on the food channel.
Food truck race.
Food truck race?
Yeah, what they do is they get, you know, food trucks, you know, which are all varying as to what they serve, and they take them to different cities across the country, right? And when they do that, they try to entice customers to
come out and see them.
You do know that's a reality show, right?
I understand that. I know it's a reality show.
All right.
I mean, this is a reality show. We have to sit here and live your life.
Sometimes it's somebody else's reality.
Now, Chris Fowler, incredibly respected, I think, across the board by everybody, a true pro, does not do a lot of opinion, by the way. You notice on the set of the show, opinion is done by other people, and he sets it up. But he broke ranks with that recently in talking about the relationship between the SEC and ESPN. And what Chris Fowler said is that, and what ends SEC bias? And it was really a watershed moment that somebody would take something like that and openly discuss it about his own network instead of just bypassing it. The one area where he may have crossed over is where he said that anybody who thinks this, he used the word stupid and uninformed. Let me start with this. First of all, Chris Fowler, Kirk Herbstreit in particular, who are the two primary voices on ESPN for college football, I think do the best job that they can of not showing bias and just do their job. They may have opinions about different things and so forth. That's fine. You have to have an opinion, which means, you know, any opinions form with some sort of bias at one point or another. But I think they try to form opinions and do a show, and they try to hit every part of the nation as possible. I think Chris Fowler is also spot on. Look, it's up to the Big Ten to go to throw nine teams in the bowl games and go 6-3. You have to. The Big Ten got more mileage out of Michigan State beating Stanford last year. And it's important that that happens. I think it was important in 2005 to have done well in the bowl season. I mean, even in the last 10 years, Penn State's been able to beat Tennessee, been able to beat LSU. And even though they were in the Big 12 then, they're in the SEC, now they beat Texas A&M. The Big Ten needs more of that, where other schools step up and win those kind of games. And Penn State hasn't had that chance the last 2 years, obviously, because they've been denied a chance to go, even though they were eligible, or bowl eligible, record-wise. The Big Ten Network, the majority of it is owned by Fox, 51%. Yet you don't have a Fox Sports 1. And Fox Over the Air carries the Pac-12. ESPN does carry the Big Ten, and Chris Fowler's right. A stronger Big Ten is good for them. Let's face it. Well, you're talking about markets of Minneapolis, Chicago, Washington, Columbus, Cincinnati, Indianapolis. I mean, you obviously want to have those markets glued into what you're doing. And it would make ESPN even stronger if the Big Ten did that part. Now for the other part. Here's where the perception of ESPN bias comes in, because they're running the SEC network. And it's not SEC Network. They don't do that. They let you know the games are there. It's SportsCenter that does that and discusses SportsCenter to see Paul Feinbaum and Tim Tebow on Friday night. That's where the problem comes in perception of the SEC on ESPN, because of those elements. As opposed to, you don't have, you know, the Big Ten has its own network, and even though the majority of stock is Fox, you don't see Fox blowing up the Big Ten, because it wouldn't matter anyway. People are not watching Fox Sports 1. The only criticism I have of the SEC is that they get credit for less, and everyone else has to do more. Meaning, Michigan State has to go out and play Oregon. meaning Florida State plays Notre Dame, meaning Mississippi State plays Alabama plays. Let me think now. Georgia plays. Oh, no. Who do they play? Non-conference. Now, some have designated rivalries. South Carolina, Clemson, Florida State, Florida, Georgia, Georgia Tech. But still.
800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great, because of Lawrence, everybody in the company is going to be drug tested.
I've said for a while, I question him.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I almost called Bellevue. We're here in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Funny, you're the greatest producer. You're the greatest producer of all time.
That's what he says, and I have a tendency to believe half of what he says. I choose to believe that half.
Okay.
Actually, my favorite is when he goes when he introduces me as the best producer in that room.
What bothers me is that even that could be debated.
Oh, all right. Wow, so, that's cold.
It was meant to be.
Wow.
Because of his show, do you get to drive cars?
Partially.
Because of his show, do you get to drive cars?
Partially. Sunbury Motors really? Is a proud sponsor of both programs.
I know they are. I sense that this is the one they hooked into. So, tell us a little bit more about what you're driving.
I was going to say, would you like me to tell you about the car now?
Okay.
I would love to.
If you would like, I can send up an on-air flare that says you can talk now.
All right. Just click the light on.
Fire up a flare. Kevin, speak.
Just flick the light on and off. That should be able to do it. Well, I am lucky enough to be driving a 2013 Hyundai Azera, which is a luxury vehicle in style with leather interior, heated front and rear seats. Of course, all the amenities you would expect to see in a Hyundai, including this 5-year, 60,000-mile warranty, but also a price that puts it well under 30 for a luxury vehicle. Backup camera, navigation, touchscreen display. You can integrate your Bluetooth phone into it, as well as put apps on the screen itself. So you can actually use your apps in the car as well. Just one of the many great features, including power seats on the driver and passenger side. Again, amazing luxury vehicle features with a price right now with the Sunbury Motors discount of $27,942. Talk to the folks at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. You'll find them in the North 4th Street Plaza, Sunbury. And if you want to take a test drive, I'll make sure it's back there in time for you to do it as early as tomorrow if you'd like.
Great. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Also, never forget Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Todd Gurley was suspended for a total of 4 games for the autographs, in which I believe they admit now he received right around $3,000 for, right in that neighborhood. And he admits to it, so. So they suspended him for 4 games, the NCAA, which means he has 2 down because he's already served 2 and has 2 to go. He would be back in time for the Auburn-Georgia game. Huge game. But there's something else the NCAA did in this that I stepped back and said, what are they doing? They also want him to perform 40 hours of community service. Todd Gurley did not break a law in doing this in any way, shape, or form. He broke an NCAA rule, but he did not break the law. What gives the NCAA the right to say you have to perform 40 hours of community service? Isn't that supposed to come from a judge? Are you kidding me? I see stuff like that, and you say, well, okay, what's the thought process here? Okay, the suspension, I get. Paying restitution, I get. It's all logical. It makes complete sense. But 40 hours of community service?
But, Steve, didn't the paying of restitution, wasn't that a portion of the money and not the entire amount he received?
I have no idea.
See, the way I understood that was that he received cash for signing the memorabilia and other items over a couple of years. He has to repay a portion of the money he received to charity of his choice and then complete as well 40 hours of community service as a condition of his reinstatement, including the suspension. As you said, the 40 hours of community service makes no sense.
This is not a court. He didn't break any law.
But why would he have to pay back a portion of it? He's either got to pay back all of it or none of it. Why a portion? Well,
I think he has to pay back all of it. To me, they should have looked at him and said, you have to pay back all of it, but we will give you nine months to do it. In other words, if you're a pro prospect, you'll have the cash.
Right. If you're cash strapped because you spent that $3,000 right now, here's a way you can pay it back and to the charities of your choice.
Right. But the 40 hours of community service, this isn't a legal thing.
Well, the NCAA has never taken a stance on a legal issue before, so and that's got to be new. Wait, maybe it isn't.
Yeah, we'll see how they handle that. Now we'll see how they handle North Carolina. This will be Roy Williams has not been implicated in any way, shape, or form in this, but Roy Williams is very concerned that his public image is going to get taken apart by people who assume he knows. And so far, the initial report from North Carolina indicates that he didn't know what was going on. And nor would a coach know. I think there's an assumption that the coaches are the all-knowing, all-seeing Oz, a lot like Bud Selig in Kevin's World.
Proud to be your bud.
And the head coach of a football program, a basketball program, they don't pick out your classes. And they don't see what classes you're in. What they do see is what academic progress you are making. And if you are not making academic progress, that's when the come to Jesus meeting happens. All right? And that's where the coach steps in. It's up to the academic advisor to, quote, advise and steer them into classes that put them on the path to getting a degree. The coach does not take part at all in what classes to take. It's up to the academic advisor. Now, you want to make sure the coaches don't get involved and go, hey, look, we got to keep them eligible, put them in something. Now you have crossed a line. Keep them eligible and put them in something he can pass. When they get to a certain point, especially at Penn State, when you get to your junior year, you are immersed in your major. An academic advisor can give you bad advice. I receive bad advice on one class at Penn State. I graduated in 3.5 years. I actually graduated with 7 more credits than I needed. I needed 124. I graduated with 131. And I did it in 3.5 years. But I was at a point where I thought I could take 9 credits my final trimester of History of the Middle East, my final time through. Why? Because in my major, they had a requirement for, quote, other cultures. So I took history, religious history of the East at one point, and then I took religious history of the West. And I was told by my advisor at Penn State Wilkes-Barre that those two classes would fulfill other cultures. Well, only Eastern did. And I was told right before I started my final that I had to pick up another course in order to graduate. Now, I was trying to graduate early. In order to graduate, I had to pick up another course. So I had to pick up Art Goldschmidt's History of the Middle East. Turned out to be a great course. I enjoyed it. But advisors who aren't paying attention can also foul up. You know, so I know it can be fouled up. I had something fouled up that my life could have been a little bit easier without that course the final way through. In other words, I wasted my time. It also means early in my academic career, it means I wasted my time at a course. A course, by the way, I did not enjoy or like. So the advisors are the ones that sit down and talk with these people about, okay, where, you know, what puts you on the path to a degree? Well, 3,100 students at North Carolina took this course. 48% of them were student athletes. They've got a problem. This goes back to 1993. It goes back to the Dean Smith era. And they're not going to get any answers out of Dean Smith, unfortunately. The poor man has dementia. Bill Guthridge, Matt Doherty, and now Roy Williams. And football, it goes all the way back to, including the Butch Davis era. It'll be interesting to see how the NCAA handles this, because in North Carolina basketball and Roy Williams are staples of the NCAA cash cow basketball tournament. Syracuse is under investigation too, you know. Did you know that?
Yes, I did read about that earlier today, actually.
So Syracuse also is being investigated. What they turned up there, I have no idea. But
I didn't understand one comment, though. I wondered if maybe you could lend some perspective on it. The athletic director, Bubba Cunningham.
No.
He made a comment that confused me. He was talking about, you know, the 18-year period and, it's the equivalent of 3 student athletes per team per year over that period. So as bad as it was, as long as it was, it's really starting to sink in that there was maybe 1, 2, or 3 classes for somebody. So that might be 6 or 9 hours out of 120 it takes to graduate. It's so shocking, but as you have a little more time to look at it, it's not quite as bad as I was thinking it was 48 hours ago.
Well, Bubba, one of those happened to be a summer class where there were 19 participants in the class, Bubba. 18 were football players, Bubba. 1 was a former football player. I rest my case. Next question.
I didn't quite understand it. It's not quite as bad as I thought it was 48 hours ago. You know what? Yeah. I think a lot of us, when we found out about this, thought this is worse than we thought it was 6 months ago.
Right. This is a lot worse. Explain to me, Bubba, how Rashad McCants, Bubba, made the dean's list, Bubba, and he claims he wasn't going to class.
You know, I think North Carolina got the benefit of waiting it out, as you always say, let it breathe and find an investigation and look at it through time. Make sure you're doing everything right. I think in this case it might have hurt North Carolina more to have it let it breathe take more time.
The problem they have is Rashad McCants has been incredibly outspoken about this. That's the problem North Carolina has. You actually have somebody who went through it that is a high-profile guy that has played in the NBA, basically telling you that, hey, look, this is what they did, and so what? I mean, that's the problem they have. They have a prominent student athlete who helped them win a national championship in college basketball, telling the world things aren't quite the way they should seem there. He made the dean's list. You know that?
Did he make the dean's list, or did he just get the numbers to make the dean's list?
He is officially listed on the dean's list. It's not as bad as we think.
Yeah.
Let me put it to you this way. What do you say? It's 3 per year?
Yeah, he said it's like, I'm trying to find the exact quote here. It's maybe 1, 2, 3 classes for somebody. And that's 6 to 9 hours out of 120 that it takes to graduate.
Yeah. So in other words, it's 9%?
But those 6 to 9 hours are okay. It's okay to cheat those 6 to 9 hours. What message does that send?
It's bizarre. It means the degree's a sham.
But I do give the NCAA credit for one thing. They have not jumped on it right away and come up with a punishment immediately. They're actually, it appears to be, reopening their investigation and doing it what I would think would be closer to the right way. I give them credit for that.
At least they're doing an investigation.
Right.
They're not relying.
That's my point.
Now, North Carolina did an internal look at it, too. They interviewed, I think, 120 people or something like that. And as you well know, I'm not really impressed by numbers. Here's one for you. I don't need you to interview 120 people. Interview the 10 to 20 that really are involved in what's going on.
What about that one?
I interviewed 120 people. Oh, who'd you talk to? Well, the guy that sweeps up outside. He said, I didn't say anything. That's one. We will wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to be with you. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Coming up tomorrow, our high school football wrap-up. We'll preview the game you'll hear on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations on Friday night. We'll preview it for you tomorrow between 3:35 and 4 o'clock. Also, trying to get Johnny Holiday, the play-by-play voice of Maryland football, on to talk about this weekend's game. One quick note on the Penn State-Ohio State game. One of the questions that was brought up about the game was the penalty in the final minute of roughing the passer and then why they started the clock. I can explain that to you now. The rule is as follows. Christian Hackenberg went back to pass on that play, and he threw the ball over the middle to Deshaun Hamilton, who caught the ball at the 43-yard line, and Hamilton went down at the 43. Ohio State was then called for roughing the passer, which moved the ball to the 28-yard line. Because Deshaun Hamilton did not get out of bounds, they start the clock on the official's whistle, which is actually, that means they did it right and made the right ruling. Now, maybe they did it too quickly. That I don't know. I'd have to look at the tape. I have no idea. But the call is correct. If Hamilton had caught the ball and went out of bounds with under 2 minutes to play in the half or the game, the clock will stop, and then they would have assessed the 15-yard penalty, and the clock would not have started until the snap. If Hamilton had, say, caught the ball and gone out of bounds with 2:02 to go in the game, they would have marked off the 15-yard penalty for roughing the passer, and they would have started the clock because you are not inside of 2 minutes yet. So that's the entire key to it, that they do mark the defensive penalty off, and then, depending on where the ball was at the time, if say Hamilton had dropped the ball, Penn State actually would have been better off in retrospect if he dropped the ball for an incomplete pass. Now, he doesn't know that. He doesn't know there's going to be a roughing the passer penalty. But you see my point. Because he caught the ball in the field of play and went down in the field of play, the clock was stopped to then assess the 15-yard penalty, but then they start the clock on the official's whistle. On that play, the officials ruled it correctly. I hope that helps. I don't think it helps anybody much, but I hope it helps.
It was a for future reference type of thing.
Also, the other part is on the delay of game. I've had many people say to me, why can't they go to the replay in the delay of game? You can see the clock is out. Yes, the clock is out. But never, and the same goes for the National Football League, you have never been able to review something that results in a penalty. You have never been allowed. That's one thing. It's one of the first things that they point out in the officiating summit that we went to when they put replay in. And I went to Chicago for this. Penalties can't be reviewed, nor can the result of a review end in a penalty. Can't. So you can't review the play clock because it would have resulted in a penalty. You say, well, they adjust the clock. And they adjust the clock based on how the review came out. But there's no penalty when they adjust the clock. And it's whether or not you caught the ball, stayed in bounds, fumbled the ball, whatever. Crossed the plane of the goal line. Didn't make it. Now you got to start the clock. Where's the clock supposed to be? But you cannot review the play on the kick. The reason you can't is that you cannot result, the review cannot result in a penalty being called. And that's standard in every league. That is standard in every league. For example, in college basketball, you can go to the tape and see which player the foul was called on. But I can tell you right now, regardless of what happens, they may say instead of John Johnson, it was DJ Newbill that was called for the foul. And it may show that there was no foul in the play. But they can't overturn the call and say there was no foul. You can't do that. You're not allowed to. So, because a review would have resulted in a 5-yard penalty, that violates the spirit of the rule that you cannot assess penalties through instant replay. And that's been a standard forever, and it's a standard I absolutely agree with, because now you're taking it too far.